Welcome to the latest episode of the People Will Talk podcast. Joining me is Mary. How's she cutting?
I'm cutting very sharply. No.
It's the first time I ever heard a response to that question, and I like how you...
I've never heard that question before.
It's a very Irish way of saying, how's it going?
Oh, well. Do you like my answer then?
I did, yeah. Very, very fitting, I guess. Appropriate for the question at hand. Well, on Friday... last, we did two things. One, we went to Rita Mocositos to to kids age 3, 4, and 5. Can you set the scene for us?
Well, we were asked by an old friend of mine if we could go and do something for Book Week. They were organizing these activities to teach the children about what writers do. And, of course, we couldn't tell them what writers really do. So we just told them that they write things and imagine lots of things. And it was really good. We read a story, part of a book that we're going to be publishing soon, which is a fairy tale with illustrations, our first book for kids and adults as well. So, yeah. It was, I think they were very, very impressed. I like their reaction.
They have some big hitters. Every Friday, most Fridays, they have people writing some famous some famous names and us.
I know. We were big names. But I think they enjoyed it because it was very interactive and we sort of put a lot of performance into it. And they particularly like the fact that you were speaking a form of Irish. I'm saying a form of Irish because in the story it's kind of like modified. It's not exactly like proper Gaelic.
It's magical Irish.
Yeah.
The kids, their faces dropped apparently when I was doing the Irish.
Oh, they absolutely loved it. I think it's not just the words, it's the fact that, you know, the noises that you make. it sounds weird, but... phonetics are very different from I think, like, Latin languages.
It's like heish and soosh, a cleric, all in jash.
It's very sort of like, I don't know how to, like deep in the...
soul.
I was going to say in the mouth, but yeah, okay, in the soul.
Well, I was speaking it for my soul, it being my native tongue and all. Kids were, well, actually, there was one kid who was like 4 and she was going to Ireland that very day. Coincidences.
Yeah, to see her cousins or something.
Well, you know, the thing is, we got some hilarious answers to what a writer does. One kid said Corathone, so we write hearts.
Yeah, I know. Others were like, no, we don't know what a writer is. I was like, come on.
Well, the 5-year-olds, every question was like, your story was too good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Do you have any questions? I love the story. And then the story was too nice. I was like, how can it be too nice?
And then there's the 3-year-old that tried to steal my watch.
The 3-year-olds were slightly, we said, children of the corn type thing. Yeah. They were all walking towards it like some sort of like zombie apocalypse.
So, well, it was a good experience because I think, you know, actually, not only were they very sweet and it was really nice to share reading with them, but, you know, kids and their parents are an untapped market, you know, for our future... publishing of kids' books.
Well, we've already been asked if when it was going to be published.
Yeah. Well, I made very big promises when I was there, so...
I know. Yeah. I don't know what came first. I just heard they say, they've promised us they'll come back.
Free books for all. So...
you do like that.
I do like giving out free books. Apparently the demographic that has the most money now... well, not the most money, but they like spending it.
It's 3-year-olds.
No, 14-year-olds.
So yeah, well,
not quite toddlers, but they're young. They're like...
Well, we met some 14-year-olds and they weren't really spending it, were they?
Did we meet 14?
Oh, in the fair.
No, they're older because they're studying bachillerato, which is the example of the Leaving Cert. But that is an interesting segue into what we did for most of Friday. We're there for 5 hours in the Marta Lath Book Fair. On the previous Monday, we did a charla there as well. It was very successful. Good turnout for discussing Irish literature. But let's focus specifically on the book fair. We're there for 5. We had a nice kiosk or cassette, as you say in Spanish. All our books laid out. A little Irish flag, which I think I bought 20 years ago. Ireland versus Andorra, Lansdowne Road, now called the Aviva. Of course, bastardised by sponsorship, as most stadiums are. And it was a good day out, you know. We met
the we went there for an excursion. Took the picnic.
Well, you know, we made important contacts with Amnesty International, Mart Lath edition, which was very intriguing for me since I was the president of Amnesty International back in university and I wrote my thesis about Amnesty International. I forgot to mention that to them, actually, to further impress them.
Well, I think they were already impressed. I think the thing with these things is that people assume, you know, that you're saying things because suddenly to hear you say, oh, well, you know, well, I was the president of Amnesty International back at my university or whatever. Most people would be like, yeah, right. But then you were mentioning the specifics of these
passports. Well, the thing is, one of our books is about Seamus Heaney, and Seamus Heaney did write a poem for Amnesty International about how every person's an ambassador. And, you know, off the back of that, Amnesty have these tiny passports, and they were selling or giving away versions of that as well. So there's a lot of interconnectedness there.
No, it was nice because, for example, that's something that you've talked to me about before, but I wouldn't know otherwise because I haven't been involved with them. So it was kind of like a bit of a thing that made her know you were like legit or whatever, which of course there was no reason why you should lie. But, you know, she even said that they had some there and she wanted to give you one and stuff. So.
Also the fact that that particular book will be on Lados next month.
It will be, and we're very excited.
But it's a great selling thing. Like, this will be on TV.
Yeah.
I want to get a sticker saying as seen on TV.
I know, we should. Like one of these like super like stars kind of stickers, like in the airports.
Well, you know, we did meet an interesting cast of characters because there was one guy who just wanted German 2 euro coins.
With the eagle. With the German eagle.
So a collection, a collector, it has to be said.
And then when there was a guy that wanted us to write something about our books, to put it up in the library, and then he just went away and never came back for it.
Yes, true, yeah.
Even though we did fill it in, but he never collected it. There so was, we used it for scrap.
There was the one guy as well who said the Ateneo, where they do lots of Joyce readings, was a bit, and yes, really, was a bit boring. Which, to be fair, you know, it was great because we are the vanguard of the young, exciting Irish cultural movement, so I think to be fair, that was a fair statement.
Disclaimer,
these are our personal opinions. And there was another guy who was in Cork in 1969, and
he was.
That was very interesting because for 2 reasons. One, he didn't really go into it, but he said it consolidated his kind of energy to go back to Spain and resist the dictatorship.
Yeah, and his communist ideas, from what I understood. His communist ideas.
Yeah, you went very quiet there. Don't worry, there's no McCarthy witch hunt in Madrid now. And he was also in Mahon, I think, in 1969 as well, which was really interesting because he said how Mahon was like a village. Even, I think I might have heard, he said it didn't have electricity. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it did. Yeah. Did you read it in the email as well? Was it definitely that place that then you told me it was in a village? It's actually part of Cork now.
Yes, well, it's city now. Like, yeah. So
that's insane. Yeah. So yeah, he definitely said he had no electricity. And perhaps maybe the toilet wasn't in the house? Could that have been another thing?
It's very likely.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, that could have happened here as well. Well, we actually describe some of those things in our book.
Well, I mean, to be fair, like with Madrid, it's only very recently that it expanded. I mean, Nuevas Ministerios was only in the 70s, and Vallecas was a village until last week. So, I mean, it's a city as well that has it was surprisingly small even back in the 90s, I would say. I mean, all up Albufeira towards where the Stadium of Rayo is now and
it's
everything.
Still small, like in terms of European capitals.
Oh, it's still a small city, but that's how smaller was it even before then?
Yeah, I think we've talked before about all the stuff, you know, like all the people that when I was at school that were like, oh, you're really posh because I was right in the middle of the city. And when my grandma bought the house in like just after the war, like 1940, it was all fields.
Yeah.
Literally, you know. So yeah, of course. I mean, even like a couple of days ago, I came across a picture of, I think on Twitter, of Callao, and they were remodeling Callao, which is one of the main squares right in the center. I think it was, I can't remember if it was the 50s or maybe it was the 30s, but it was basically, yeah, it looked like a field. So yeah, of course, Madrid has grown a lot.
Okay, so that's a roundabout way of saying it was a good fair then.
Yeah, good fair. We ended up talking about something completely different.
Well, I think what is interesting is that Spain, well, Madrid in particular, is a cultural hotspot. We've said it so many times before, and I guess you could describe the dynamics of how this was set up. So everything was free for us because they get money from the government, etc. Maybe you can give us an insight into how, like, these local councils, not really councils, but they're local groups in neighborhoods of the city, get funds to put on nice events.
It's called, I mean, they're called like juntas. So like every kind of neighborhood or district, let's say, every district has like a junta, is kind of like a small council that runs the affairs of that particular area. It's not something that has always happened, this, but it was something that was set up by a few years ago when the left government was on in Madrid, and they created this thing which was called like Decide, You Decide, or something like that, which was basically, you know, a pocket of money, and they asked people to put forward proposals on what it should be spent on in their barrios, in their neighborhoods, in the districts, and people put suggestions forward and they picked some. So later on it's been kept, even though, you know, with the local government switching, they got rid of, or they said they were going to get rid of many things, that in the end a lot of things they've actually maintained because they were good ideas. And this one was one, and well, in Moratalaz they just had this idea of having their own book fair, which they didn't have until a couple of years ago, and they gave them the money, so they've been using it to try and promote culture, just do talks and the book fair, and even like concerts and just things to try and spread culture.
Well, one thing that hasn't been maintained were the toilets. Because there's no toilets.
There was no toilets. Yeah, the organizers said they'd requested like porter cabins and stuff, but they just didn't get them. Well, what can you do? Yeah, perhaps that was the only thing that was missing.
Well, to set the scene of what the festival was like, not the toilet aspect. We just went to a bar, but there was carpas, which are like tents. So Amnesty International were there, other people were there, and there's a big stage where you had a very eclectic, the day we were there, because it was a 3-day event. We were there the Friday, weren't there Saturday or Sunday. But on the Friday, on the stage, you had old people reading stories about Moratalaz, the district. You had two guys playing 3 songs in the bagpipes. Not a lot of lung capacity. That's why maybe they give up there. And then we had a heavy metal band and also a talk with a publisher talking about artificial intelligence and literature. And the future of literature. So very eclectic. So I'm sure the programming for the other 2 days was equally as stupendous and varied and fresh.
It sounds like it. When we were there, they were doing, elderly people, as well as reading stories, they were reading parts of the Quijote, which is something that we tend to do a lot in Spain whenever it's something to do with book day, it's just reading the Quijote. So They were very active. I mean, a lot of them, this is just a district that, like we said before, wasn't there in the 70s even. That's when they were advertising on the radio, buy a little flat there and stuff. So a lot of the people that that are living there now are in their 70s and had the children there. So they were just basically telling the story of moving there as a young family.
Well, as we commented, a lot of the stories were good, but some of the stories were, you know, this is not a criticism, just an observation, neutral observation, were written by people who don't frequently write. So it's just interesting to see the kind of crutches people use when that's the case. So in The Simpsons, there's, you know, an example of Homer writing where he just kind of gives a dictionary definition of a word. Whereas this is what we saw a couple of times. It's like, well, Marteleth, the name comes from this, you know. Or like kind of like a obscure fact about the founding of the area and stuff like that. And then quick roundabout segue into something completely different, modern and biographical. So
and then finishing with Long Live Marteleth or something like that.
Marteleth, I love you.
Yes. Kind of thing.
Kind of a very local version of those movies, Paris, I Love You, and New York, I Love You. Those little vignettes movies. I'm sure they could get Gael Garcia Bernal over here and do one, since his career is not as in the ascendant as it once was. But for our second book fair, you know, I think we had a good time. We had a really nice time.
We had a very good time. I would say it was far better than the first one. Yeah. It just goes to show that sometimes these little ones are actually better. Because it's just more... Well, first of all, the whole caseta was ours. Like, we didn't depend on anybody. Yeah. And so we could set it up like we wanted. And a lot of people came over also to check out the well, the flag or the logo that we had that was really big. And also the typewriter that we had. We had an old typewriter that a lot of people sort of recognized.
It was from your family. And when we mentioned, oh, it's from her family, like, oh, wow.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I believe it was my mom's. And so, yeah, we just, you know, we just had the time and the space to decorate it like we wanted. And then we were just able to talk to people. And... about books and about the barrio and everything. So
well, the neighbors were pretty good, you know. They came over and said hello to us, the different editoriales, publishers. So they were quite friendly. Also, a big shout out to that guy who looked like an Irish guy. So I asked him, are you Irish? And he said no in an Irish accent.
He said, Irish? No.
Yeah, so...
in the most Irish accent ever.
It's an Irish thing to say. Like, no, I'm not. No.
Irish, no. Irish, no. So, like, we were very suspicious because he was definitely Irish.
He was, wasn't he? So, I know some of the people who were at that event, that book fair, like, on Sunday, they were in another one in another part of Madrid. So, that's something we definitely need to investigate because it seems to be, especially this is, like, the book fair season. So, in different localities and districts of this fine city and beyond its borders, there's just a lot of book fairs. So, I'm book fair mad. I'd like to go to more, you know?
I know.
And do more. And sell more books.
Definitely,
make
yes.
Make some money.
We'll be scouting for that.
Would you, before we start wrapping up here, is it fair to say that you've finally mastered how to use the machine for taking card payments?
Okay, I thought you were going to say InDesign for like desktop polishing. I was going to kill you. Yes, I have. That was only the very, very first one I got a bit nervous with. But then it works wonders. I mean, we're really making the most of that thing. Just with a mobile, people can pay with the cards.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so good that we lost the credit card, the proper one.
Why'd you trail off there?
Well, I trail off because like it's an embarrassing admission.
You'll have to boost that in post.
Yeah, I was just really talking to you.
Fair enough. So, yeah, I could say if you're ever in Madrid and happen to be at a book fair, come and say hello, but it's very unlikely that that would happen, that if you are in the city in the first place that would coincide with us having a book
and
fair.
Even if you are, we might ask you if you're Irish and you might say Irish.
Yeah,
no.
Just to you know,
so
be silly,
don't be a stranger.
Silly Biggins. Well, the good thing is, well, just the final thing we can say, we brought four titles there as a publishing company. We have published four titles this year. We sold three of them, not like three copies, but we've sold copies of three titles. And I think, like, for next year, if we go back, we'll have four or five more titles. So bringing up, like, to 10 titles. Definitely. So it's been really good. And so we look forward to publishing more books and basically having more titles. Because I think, you know, for four titles in, we haven't even been going for a year. We managed to fill the space quite nicely with props and all that stuff. But, you know, next year we'll actually have filling the space with, like, more books, which is the ideal scenario as well. So we got a taste. We want more.
Definitely, yeah. We'll be searching for more, and maybe in May, June, we'll be having more opportunities. There's a big fair, which of course we're not going to, but there might be other little ones as well.
We've already done it, so we don't need to go back again to the one in Retiro.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying we're not doing it because like we're beyond that now.
Well, our plan was actually to to record this podcast there, but for the aforementioned stage and heavy metal,
yeah,
so that was impossible. So hopefully the next one that we do will actually not have that in such close proximity that we can like, you know, because it reminds me of when we were in the Secret Kingdoms and we were doing the podcast with the owner, and then, you know, customers were coming in and we got to capture that kind of exchange as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, no, that was nice. But when you have like, you know, five guys sort of like, oh,
yeah.
In your face then.
So what was the point of this podcast? We're making waves, baby. That's
promotion.
All.
Promotion.
Yeah.
Shameless self-promotion,
hey,
they call it.
Lisa's different from an interview. So, you know, chopping and changing. All right, then. Thanks for listening.
Bye.